What? What? What?
I know how we can run everybody out of Rock Ridge.
How?
We'll kill the firstborn male child in every household.
Too Jewish.
Shalom, and welcome to the Too Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning is Noe Jacobson of the Jewish music sensation The Maccabees, the Yeshiva University a cappella singing group that's become the top Jewish act on YouTube and in concert. We'll also have visits from our two Jewish expert on the international scene, Tom Price, and our maven on Israel, Guy Gelbert. Please email your comments to us at twojewishradio@yahoo.com or visit us on the web at twojewishradio.com. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Too Jewish.
Shalom. This was a strange week indeed, with a horrible terror attack at the Boston Marathon on Patriots Day, shocking the whole nation and perhaps the world, all in a season when we usually enjoy the lovely spring weather and the early baseball season, when life is typically pretty sweet. Not so much this week. It's a challenge to gain perspective on an incident like the one last week. First, it must be said that this gruesome brutality, which killed 3 people and wounded close to 200, was morally reprehensible in every way. It took a wonderfully celebratory experience for a whole region, Patriot Day in Boston, which commemorates the beginning of America with baseball and pageantry and, best of all, the most famous marathon in the whole world, and turned it into tragedy, pain, and fear. What an awful sin. As a past marathon runner and finisher, I cannot imagine a less aggressive, more peace-oriented sport than the marathon. Running a marathon is a triumph of fortitude and perseverance, of mind over matter, a shared commitment of brain, body, and spirit that forces every runner to confront the limits of his or her physical capacity and to seek to supersede them. Marathon runners often support each other, share both the pain and exhilaration of their often solitary quest, are heartened by the presence of any spectators whose cheering wishes all well. There is no triumphalism in marathon running, only camaraderie and a deep spirit of respect that comes with sharing such an insane quest as running 26.2 miles in somewhere between 2 and 6 hours. In marathon running, we run for ourselves and against the clock, competing only to a very small degree with any other runners. And the only violence you do in a marathon is to your own body, especially the joints and tendons. As a very ordinary runner, I know that my own marathon time was right around 4 hours, just about exactly the time when the blasts in Boston exploded, murdering and maiming people. It's a sobering and very creepy thought indeed. Why would anyone choose this event for such a horrible purpose? Of course, we could have said much the same thing after the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut became a slaughterhouse, or when the movie theater in Aurora, Colorado was filled with carnage. You know, here in America, we are still pretty unaccustomed to terror attacks in our streets. Oklahoma City took place 18 years ago, 9/11 is now more than 11 years ago, and the awful gun violence incidents of recent years are not quite the same as what happened in Boston, but they were uniquely horrible in their own ways. In fact, each terror attack, different in design or execution, shocks us as Americans in a new way. We do know that Israel has experienced this kind of attack, bombs placed with shrapnel again and again during both intifadas, especially in the reign of terror of the homicide bombers in the early 2000s during the second intifada. Israel has had such extensive experience with terror like this that it knows only too well how it feels when a bomb goes off and the sirens start and people start frantically calling relatives and friends in the area of the blast. When rescue workers have to gather severed limbs and apply tourniquets, when happy moments turn tragic and horrifying. It happened literally hundreds of times in the small Jewish nation over the course of 10 years. It has now happened to us here in America, in different ways, more than a few times. And yet it continues to shock us to the core each time. You might think that after 9/11 we would have lost our national innocence about terrorism once and for all, but I don't really think we have. At some level, we can't really believe that it can happen here, or even that it has happened here. But of course it has. I'm not sure what our response will need to be. In truth, no one is yet. In Israel, the reign of the suicide and homicide bombers was ended primarily by a large, effective fence. It's not at all clear what will work here in America, since there are so many fewer attacks, we are so much larger, and the sources of these attacks are more diverse. But we will need to address this complicated problem intelligently, swiftly, and efficiently, or we will continue to experience this kind of horror. We hope and pray for the speedy recovery of the victims of this horrific act and for their families and friends. It will be far longer before we know that we have come up with a plan that prevents this from happening again, and even longer before we know if it will really work. May God give strength to the victims and their families, and wisdom and skill to their medical teams, and may we make some progress figuring all of this out soon. You know, we can always learn from Israel. I think in this we should. Speaking of that, it was Israel's 65th birthday last week, Yom HaAtzmaut, a much happier thing to talk about. Here in Tucson, Arizona, where I live, we will celebrate the Israel Festival this very afternoon. The featured act is the wonderful a cappella group, the Maccabees. Their singer, Noe Jacobson, is our guest today here on Too Jewish. Here's a sample of their upbeat, fun music. This is their cover of Matisyahu's One Day.
Sometimes I lay under the moon and thank God I'm breathing. And I pray don't take me soon, 'cause I am here for a reason.
Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it get me down. So when negativity surrounds,
I know someday it'll all turn around. Because
all my life I've been waiting for, I've been praying for the people to say that we don't want to fight no more. There'll be no more war, and our children will play. One day, one day, one day.
Souls of the innocent, blood drenched pavement. Keep on moving though the waters stay raging. In this maze, you can lose your way, your way. It might drive you crazy, but don't let it phase you. No way, no way.
Sometimes in my tears, I drown.
I drown,
but I never let it get me down.
Get me down.
So when negativity surrounds.
They will all be free and proud to be under the same sun, singing songs of freedom like
yo. Children will play.
One
That was the hugely popular a cappella Jewish singing group, the Maccabees, singing Matisyahu's song, One Day. When we come back on Two Jewish This Morning, we'll meet one of them, our guest, Noe Jacobson, a Maccabeet, one of the stars of YouTube and concerts and, of course, Yeshiva University. Find out how they started when we come back on Two Jewish.
Folks, it's time you experience the Jim Click difference at Jim Click Mazda. Get more discounts, more peace of mind, and more selection with two Mazda locations to serve you. The all-new 2014 Mazda 6 is now in stock and ready for immediate delivery. And folks, it's all new body style. It looks absolutely great. It's priced at only $249 a month. And the 2013 Mazda 3 is now a vent price of just $15,999. More discounts, more peace of mind, and more selection. 10 brands to choose from. That's the car to save. That's the Jim Click difference.
Parents in Tucson have many choices on where to send their children to school. Consider the best. Consider Tucson Hebrew Academy. Now is the time to secure your spot for the upcoming school year. With a beautiful Foothills K-8 campus and award-winning academics, you owe it to your children to visit THA, Tucson Hebrew Academy, and see what they have to offer. Your child belongs at THA. THA delivers. Low student-teacher ratio supports successful, rigorous academics, and they don't stop there. With an emphasis on the arts, science, and music, THA students learn the Hebrew language and are taught Jewish values along with a rigorous academic curriculum. Your child deserves the best. Call 529-3888 to schedule your tour of THA. Financial aid is available. Don't wait. Space is limited. That's 529-3888 or visit www.thaaz.org. We are delighted to welcome to Two Jewish our guest this morning. He's Noe Jacobson of the quite shockingly popular Jewish a cappella group, the Maccabees, who burst on the scene with a tremendous parody of Hanukkah parody a couple years ago that really went viral on YouTube. They've become extraordinarily popular throughout the Jewish world. Formed in 2007 as Yeshiva University's student vocal group, they have become, I don't know, number one a cappella act in the Jewish world. How's that feel?
How's it feel? It feels great. It's been a crazy ride for a couple of years now, and had tremendous amount of experiences with the group. And you know, we get asked a lot, did you ever expect all the success? And sometimes we joke, yeah, we totally expected it. But the real answer is we had no idea where this is going to take us. But it's really been amazing, and we're very thankful.
You know, I'm sure that when you formed this group at Yeshiva University, you expected to be invited to the White House by Barack Obama.
Exactly. Fully expected.
Naturally.
Not quite.
So
it's funny, when we started as a group, I wasn't even in the group yet. I was still studying in Israel for the year. But the original purpose of the group was not even to perform at all. It was actually just for students who enjoyed singing and wanted a forum to do that with friends. But it was actually in the charter of the original group that they wouldn't do any public performances.
So did you have to, like, revoke the charter? Did it require, I don't know, some kind of special Beit Din to change it?
Not that official, but there definitely was a switch in direction at some point.
How do you guys write your stuff? Some of them are parodies. Some of them are really not. Like the latest big hit, which was the Pesach version of Les Miserables, didn't actually change the lyrics so much, as opposed to Candlelight, which was a really tremendous parody. How do you guys do your stuff? How do you choose what you do?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at not just the videos, but also the CDs that we put out two CDs. One's called Voices from the Heights, and the other's Out of the Box. So there's really an eclectic array of stuff that we do. We do straight-up covers of songs that are on the radio, but you know, we find meaningful. We do Hebrew songs, Israeli songs. We do parodies, of course. I would call Les Mis maybe something of a reinterpretation. It's the same words, but we sort of framed it a little bit differently to fit with the Passover holiday. So we do all sorts of different types of music and different songs.
We will talk much more with Noe Jacobson of the Maccabees. You get to hear some of the Maccabees' terrific music over the course of the show this morning. All of that when we come back on Two Jewish.
When you're looking to buy or sell your home, you probably want Tucson's best realtor on your side.
that realtor is Jill Rich. As real estate values change, it's comforting to know that Jill Rich knows Tucson's real estate landscape. She follows the trends. She knows the neighborhoods. She even knows how to help you find financing. But most importantly, Jill cares. It doesn't matter if you're looking for a starter home or a castle. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. For sellers, Jill will develop a personal marketing program that'll sell your house fast. There's no one who knows Tucson real estate better. You can reach Jill Rich at Long Realty's River and Campbell office. Call 349-0174. Jill Rich, providing strong representation in a caring way. Call 349-0174.
If you have a question, comment, compliment, or criticism, a kvetch or a kvel, please email us at twojewishradio@yahoo.com or visit our website at twojewishradio.com. You can hear all past and present shows through our website or download us from there at the Apple iTunes Store as very popular Jewish podcasts. One of the great parts about having a musical group on Two Jewish is that we get to play some of their best material. From the Maccabees, one of whom, Noe Jacobson, is our guest today, this is their version of Lecha Dodi, set to the tune of Leonard Cohen's wonderful, haunting Hallelujah. That is, a group of Yeshiva University modern Orthodox a cappella singers performing a version of the ultimate Jewish Buddhist Canadian secular composer's tune. Very cool. And very too Jewish, I might add.
Oh,
That was the Maccabees singing a lovely version of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah set to the words of Lecha Dodi, the song of welcome for the Shabbat bride, the Sabbath bride. We welcome our maven on Israel, Guy Gilbert, head of the Weintraub Israel Center, on a very festive, exciting day. Chag Sameach, Guy.
Chag Sameach, Rabbi. Boker Tov.
Boker Tov. 65th birthday of Israel today. Big celebration.
Huge celebration. We are having our huge, enormous Israel festival today near the JCC. It's an outdoor festival. We will be opening our doors at noon and celebrate all the way up to 6 p.m. We are going to host here today the Maccabees for a live, cool performance. We have a huge Shuk marketplace, great kids' activities, a lot of stuff, educational opportunities, fun opportunities, jumping castles, art contests.
Bands, choirs, parades, flags, food, all kinds of stuff.
Way beyond anything one can imagine. Now we're in the, you know, in the middle of all the preparations. We're running around like crazies, making sure all the tents are well and the food are in the, you know, preparations and the and so on. The pita making and all of that. It's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited. I'm sure you can hear my voice.
You should be. You know, just a quick reflection. I mean, 65 years is still a young country, but not as young as it used to be. any special thoughts at this celebration of Israel's birthday?
Well, this festival this year focuses on the incredible innovative contribution that Israel had to the world and still does. You know, it's quite fascinating the amount of innovations and creative and startup that comes out of Israel and help make our world a better place. Not many people are even familiar with the fact that nearly every hospital in the U.S. uses Israeli technology on a daily basis to save millions of lives of Americans and make them better. So that's one small example.
In addition, when you think about all of the Israeli innovations in software, in agriculture, in all kinds of high-tech fields, avionics, you know, really, Israel is probably per capita the most innovative place in the world.
You know, I'm thinking of Arizona here. We use so many desert agriculture techniques that were developed in Israel, like the drip irrigation system, and of course the cherry tomatoes that we all enjoy so much, and those small capsules that doctors use to image the internal parts of the body. And even our laptops, you know, Intel have their biggest development center outside of the U.S. in Israel. Microsoft have their biggest development center outside the U.S. in Israel. IBM, Cisco, GE Medical Systems, you name it, it is being developed in Israel and helps save lives worldwide of millions and millions of people, make our lives better. Cell phones, most of the technology in cell phones, Wi-Fi communication, wireless, and so on and so on. Well, it's going to be a great festival, a lot of fun. We'll celebrate together, learn about innovations, arts, singing, the Maccabees. I hope to see you all there.
Sounds great. You will certainly see me, and I hope everybody else who listens to this show at the JCC, starting at noon, go until
6
p.m. Chag Sameach, Guy, a very Yom Huledet Sameach L'Eretz Yisrael.
Thank you. Chag Sameach.
When we come back, we'll hear from Tom Price on the international Jewish scene.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
We welcome our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Rabbi.
We were talking about Germany last week, and it occurred to me, I have some German Jews in my family background, how remarkably German Jews tend to think of themselves as part of this national German identity, you know, right up until Hitler and the Holocaust.
Right.
And that's such an odd thing, you know, if you think about it. They often thought of themselves as Germans first and Jews second.
Right. Particularly since Germany as we know it today didn't really exist until the 1870s. It was a bunch of separate states, yeah, like
400 and some,
Prussia
some
and
point.
Saxony and all these little grand duchies and
Bohemia,
stuff.
Right.
And so most people considered themselves to be Saxons or Prussians and not Germans, but Jews, probably even before there was a Germany,
before
considered
Bismarck.
Themselves to be Germans.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
Huh. So, which leads to the question, is that always the case? That is, when Jews see a national identity rising above ethnicity, do they see that as a good thing for Jews?
Well, I think they see it as an opportunity because they don't really belong to any of these minor groups like Saxons or Prussians or Bavarians, since their roots don't go back in any of those places thousands of years. They've been expelled, they've been victims of the Crusades or pogroms or whatever. So they're kind of a movable feast. But the idea of a national identity that rises above sort of local provincialism is very appealing. I mean, one of the countries of Europe that I know best and have deep feelings for no longer exists. It's Yugoslavia. And a lot of people in the former Yugoslavia know that the best Yugoslavs, quote unquote, were the Jews. With Tito's right-hand man, Moshe Piade was a Jew. And it's because the Jews of the former Yugoslavia weren't and were not seen as being Serbs or Croats or Montenegrins. They didn't have those ethnic identities. They came originally from somewhere else. And in most cases, you know, quote unquote, only 100 years ago or 400 years ago or whatever, but not thousands of years ago. So they totally bought in to the notion of being Yugoslav and the Yugoslav National Army, and because no other identity would fit or would really welcome them, whereas they could help shape what it meant to be a Yugoslav. I mean, I think that's true to some extent of...
Well, it's probably true of the old Ottoman Empire.
Right. I mean, absolutely, that the Jews were not... particularly attached to one province or locale, they were ideal Ottomans in the sense of belonging to this multinational, multi-ethnic, multilingual imperium where they had a role to play. And actually, they were never really persecuted by the Ottomans. They were welcomed and treated well. And when they were expelled from the Iberian Peninsula, the Sultan Bayezid sent ships for them and clothes and food to entice them to come to his realms as opposed to going somewhere else.
Which calls to mind America. You know, Jews had to be wonderful Americans from the start because, again, kind of a multi-ethnic, open society in which we could find a place.
Right.
Thanks, Tom. Interesting stuff. We'll talk next week.
I look forward to it.
It's time now for our old Jewish joke of the week. Jewish humor, your Bubby and Zadie knew, brought to you by Too Jewish as a Public Service. Rachel and her husband, Max, come into their local kosher restaurant. As usual, within moments of taking their seats, Rachel starts to complain to the waiter. "Waiter," she says, "turn up the air conditioning. You know I can't stand the hot atmosphere." 5 minutes later, she calls him over again. "Waiter," she says, "now it's freezing in here. Please turn down the air conditioning. It's too cold." 5 minutes after that, she wants it turned up again because she's getting too hot. "Waiter, it's boiling like chicken soup. Please turn down the air conditioning." Finally, the food arrives at the table and Rachel says, "Again, it's too cold in here. Waiter, please turn up the air conditioning." A guy sitting at a nearby table can't help but notice the patience of the waiter and he calls him over. "Waiter," he says, "you're amazing. Why don't you just throw her out of the restaurant?" "Oh, we don't really mind," says the waiter, "because not only do we believe the customer is always right, but this restaurant doesn't have any air conditioning." That was the Old Jewish Joke of the Week, special feature Too Jewish just for you. You should live and be well. I actually think the punchline of that should be, who has air conditioning? And now a word of Torah. Each week, my wife, Wendy, a professor of British literature and women's studies, bakes challah, the traditional braided egg bread eaten by all Jews on Friday night. She began fulfilling this most famous woman's mitzvah last fall when our congregation and our family got tired of the Trader Joe's challah we'd been serving and eventually refused to eat it. Using the recipe of an outstanding challah baker from our community who had moved to Japan, Wendy immediately began creating lovely loaves that we share with our whole congregation weekly. Frankly, it is the best bread in the history of the world, a delicacy appropriate for a deity. Although she's expressed doubt about whether this baking project damages her strong feminist credentials, Wendy continues to elaborate on her challot, moving from 4 strands to 5, even 6. 2 loaves of 6 strands symbolize the 12 tribes, by the way. She's created a heart-shaped challah, even a chocolate chip challah. The challot are so tasty that when I hand out pieces in the Oneg Shabbat line, it is gone quickly. And as wonderful as this bread is fresh-baked, somehow, unlike store-bought or even bakery bread, it remains moist for days. As my congregation eats this challah, I think of the passage from Dvarim, Deuteronomy, Lo al halechem levado yichyeh ha'adam, not by bread alone does the human being live. Watching my congregants, you would not actually believe that to be true. In the Talmud, the formula for a basic meal is pitu v'melach, bread and salt. And from the joy this bread brings, we see that simple things can indeed be best. Smelling fresh challah makes us feel better about ourselves and our world. But everybody knows the purpose of bread is to eat it. Thus, the showbread described in this week's Torah portion of Emor is frankly a strange part of the ritual of the tabernacle and temple. Why include a symbolic bread that sits around for a week on beautiful display and isn't eaten? I love a Talmudic midrash that says that the miraculous showbread, unlike every other loaf of bread ever baked, did not go stale sitting out. For people accustomed to bread that does go stale or moldy, in an era long before preservatives, this would indeed be a miracle, a physical manifestation of the presence of the divine. Perhaps it was not the more dramatic aspects of the rituals of the tabernacle and temple that impressed the people of Israel most. Perhaps it was the simple human miracle of ever-fresh bread that made it clear to them that God cared. In the simple, nurturing presence of this showbread, symbolized today by the challah we display and eat on Shabbat evening, we can see the warm, comforting miracle of God's love for us. For who else but a caring God could inspire us to create such magnificent bread? So this coming Shabbat, enjoy your challah, your very Jewish bread, whether or not your wife is the one who makes it. But remember that symbolically it represents much more than just a tasty bite. It is a nurturing reminder of God's love. When we come back on Too Jewish, our guest, Noe Jacobson of the wildly popular Jewish a cappella group The Maccabees, will return to charm us as we return on Too Jewish.
Safety. It's a word we take for granted at home and at the workplace, but sometimes safety isn't a sure thing. Environmental Strategies, Inc. is an environmental remediation company that's been promoting safe living in Arizona since 1989. Environmental Strategies specializes in asbestos and lead abatement, mold remediation, and industrial cleaning. In addition, they have a building and remodeling division that makes it convenient for clients to get all their services from one contractor. Environmental Strategies jobs range from seam tape removal in a single-family home to insulation removal in a Challenger Learjet aircraft and everything in between. So, if you're in need of asbestos or lead removal, mold remediation, industrial cleaning, or top-notch general contracting services, call Environmental Strategies today at 884-1114. Estimates and bids are free and confidential. Ken Goodman is the president, and he'd love to talk with you about your project. Environmental Strategies, serving all of Arizona since 1989. Call 884-1114.
Folks, it's time for you to experience the Jim Click Kia difference. Get more discounts, more peace of mind, and more selection. 2013 Kia Soul is now starting at just $14,988 and only $159 a month. So drive home the fuel-efficient 2013 Kia Rio, special event price only $159 a month. And remember, every Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. More discounts, more peace of mind, and more selection, 10 brands to choose from. That's the power to save. That's the Jim Click difference. Kia, the power to surprise.
We continue with our Two Jewish Update on news of Jews around the world with commentary.
In disappointing news from the Palestinian Authority last week, Prime Minister Salem Fayyad's resignation was accepted by President Mahmoud Abbas. This was not wholly unexpected. The two haven't been getting along, but it certainly puts a damper on any potential Israeli-Palestinian two-state talks, or really any serious talks at all. Fayyad was widely respected in the West, both in the U.S. and in Europe, for his economic management, his dedication to efficiency, his competence, and his unfailing integrity. In a Fatah movement characterized by widespread corruption, tribalism, and cronyism, Salem Fayyad was a rare beacon of capable, transparent pragmatism. Everybody in the West saw Salem Fayyad as a man who could build a capable Western-style state in Palestine for the good of the Palestinians and, frankly, of all the residents of the Middle East, including the Israelis. Naturally, this meant that Salem Fayyad was totally unpopular among Palestinians. For what creates popularity among Palestinians seems to be violent terror against Israelis, you know, like Marwan Barghouti perpetrated, and a deep dedication to rejecting any compromise or peace, like the Islamist terrorists of Hamas. The only other path to popularity is providing gravy train jobs and bribes or corrupt payments using foreign aid dollars, which has been Fatah's strength since Yasser Arafat's day. Sadly, Fayyad offered none of these, only the legitimate hope for a country based on democracy, efficiency, and integrity. And that just doesn't play in the Arab world, at least not in the Palestinian territories. It's too bad. I don't really know if Salem Fayyad would have been able to cobble together the coalition needed to get the Palestinians to organize a real nation, but he was probably the best hope for that. In other news, two long-range rockets fired from the Sinai struck the Israeli resort city of Eilat last week. The rockets fell in open areas in the southernmost part of the Israeli city. Israeli forces found the remnants. One landed in a construction site in Eilat. A Sinai-based Islamist group claimed responsibility for the attack. Majlis Shura al-Mujahideen said in a statement on its website that the rockets were retaliating for the Israeli army's actions against protesters, demonstrating the death of a Palestinian prisoner. Local residents and tourists had been ushered into bomb shelters following a warning siren before the explosion. An Iron Dome missile defense system battery deployed in the Eilat area tracked the rockets, but did not operate to shoot them down. The last time a rocket landed in Eilat was about a year ago, April 2012. And in a very weird story, an extremely prominent Orthodox academic, Rabbi Michael Broida, professor of law at Emory University, the author of dozens of books and articles, a leading authority on the intersection of religious and secular law, and an authority on ethics, was exposed for having used a fake identity for 20 years to publish scores of letters in scholarly journals and in online correspondence. Rabbi Broida even admitted to using the false name Rabbi Herschel Goldwasser to gain membership for a time in the International Rabbinic Fellowship in its early days, an association of liberal Orthodox rabbis created by Rabbi Avi Weiss. It is perhaps impossible to overstate Michael Broida's reputation before this incident. He was among the handful of members of the Beit Din of America, the centrist Orthodox community's religious court. He reportedly was shortlisted as a candidate to replace Jonathan Sacks as chief rabbi of the UK. The chancellor of Yeshiva University, Rabbi Norman Lamb, said Broida possessed the finest mind of his generation. Well, he is now in deep professional hot water. It remains to be seen if you can create a fake rabbinic persona to promote your own agenda and your own work and publish under it in the 21st century, but it certainly seems like something an authority on ethics shouldn't do. We'll keep following this odd and troubling story. And that's the Two Jewish News of Jews Around the World. to play in our guest today, the Maccabees' Noe Jacobson. Here's a bit of the a cappella group's Les Miserables version for Passover. About a month ago, they did it. Bum, bum. Down, da, da. We welcome back to Two Jewish, our guest this morning, Noe Jacobson of the Maccabees, the virally successful. Boy, virus used to be a bad word. Now it's entirely positive.
Apparently. The highest accomplishment.
Yeah, it is. The virally successful Jewish a cappella group from Yeshiva University. Maybe calling it a Jewish a cappella group from Yeshiva University is redundant. The student vocal group at YU, formed originally so guys could sing together, it became kind of a worldwide sensation. In your bio, you guys talk about how you're committed to Torah Umada, both, you know, kind of the modern Orthodox ideal of real knowledge of Torah and entering into the contemporary world fully, which obviously you do with your music, singing people like Leonard Cohen and all kinds of other composers, Israeli composers and so on, in a very interesting way. How do you choose your material?
I think, you know, we try to take the ideas and the traditions, if you will, from the Jewish faith that really resonate with us, that we love, that we've grown up with, and try to package them in songs that are really, really catchy. I mean, that's sort of the whole idea. You know, the candlelight song is a perfect example. You know, we love Hanukkah. We love what Hanukkah means. We love what Hanukkah stands for. We love what it's all about, but to sort of try to impart that to children just with the facts itself is difficult. And we took a song that was immensely popular, and instead of talking about nothingness, you know, we took the Hanukkah message and put that in that song, and it really worked. It made it palatable. It made it exciting. It made it fun, really. We see that at our concerts. You know, we see people getting up and dancing and having a great time, and they come up to us afterwards and say, thank you for making my Judaism fun. Thank you for making it exciting again. And we think that combining those two things are the ancient tradition, but also the new, the modern, is a really, really powerful combination. And yeah. That sort of, it sort of mirrors and reflects what we all learn together at Yeshiva University. You know, we actually aren't technically the YU group anymore because all of us have moved on and have since graduated, but we're forever connected, both in terms of appreciation to Yeshiva University for helping us get started, but also ideologically, you know, the Torah Umada idea, notion that was really cultivated there.
You know, I was going to say that the candlelight song is better than the original, which is a hard thing to say about a parody. The original is about, you know, dancing in a club and throwing your arms in the air, and Candlelight somehow manages to capture the whole spirit of Hanukkah in a really wonderful way. You guys have moved on. You graduate from college, of course. Everybody does. Are you now a professional? How do you think about yourselves now?
Again, everyone has something on the side that's more primary.
This is not your day job, is what you're saying.
Exactly. There are those of us who are in graduate school. There are those of us who are working. There are those of us who are doing all sorts of things. But, you know, we didn't feel like we were ready to sort of give this up, you know, and it's, we so enjoy traveling around the world. I mean, it's crazy. We have students who are in first year, second year medical school, law school, who are still traveling on weekends across the country and across the world. But we just so much enjoy it and think it's so important and so meaningful that, you know, we're going to do this as long as we can.
How do you integrate new people into the group? Or are you guys the same group that you formed originally? I mean, you joined slightly after because you were in Israel at the time. As you said earlier, do you add new people? How's it work?
Well, there was, after the Candlelight video, there was sort of a freeze on letting new people into the group just because things were a little bit hectic. This year, we actually took two new members into the group, Ellie Shastak, George Rubin, and they're great. You know, they're actually still in Yeshiva University, so it's great to get some young blood and people who are still an undergraduate, and that's been really, really great. But otherwise, there are 14 who are in the original group when Candlelight came out.
A cappella music, a cappella singing, has been popular for a long time in America. It started, well, it goes back probably forever, but I think about the 1950s, and I think about the sort of resurgence of boy bands for a while. But the Jewish a cappella tradition is not so much the way you guys do it. It's chazonas and then mishurim, you know, cantors kind of singing with the choir filling in. A cappella is very different. Talk a little bit about, you know, how you decide who's doing the lead. How does it all work?
How does a cappella work? I don't know. We sort of, yeah. I mean, a cappella is great because there's actually, I think, a message within a cappella music, which is that on their own, each voice doesn't sound so great. You know, the harmonies are sort of a little strange, but when you bring it together in the chord, it sounds really, really beautiful, and there's a message within that itself, and we try to talk about that. But we do, you know, we started off really doing barbershop music, which is this classic, you know, a cappella. You think of those guys in those silly hats.
Striped vests, you know.
Exactly. I think a cappella has seen a tremendous resurgence in the last couple of years. I mean, the show Glee on TV really brought it to the forefront again, and now they have on NBC, they have a show called The Sing-Off. And all of a sudden, something that was seen as a little bit nerdy, you know, became very, very, very popular. So we've sort of enjoyed a cappella's general success, you know, and resurgence, as you say.
What's your favorite song that you guys do?
I like the song Kol Barama. Mm-hmm. It's on our second album. We don't sing it in concert that often. It's a shame. And we actually had a guest vocalist on that track, Simcha Leiner, who sings that song originally. It's really, really beautiful, really haunting. That's my favorite.
How did you write, how do you write parodies? Does one guy do it? Do you sit down together in a room and bounce stuff around?
Everything we do is a collaborative effort. Everything everyone will weigh in. But I think it usually starts with one person or two people who take a stab at a song. And so like come up with an idea, and something's popular on the radio, but we can tie it into a holiday some way or tie it in another way. And from there, it becomes a collaborative effort. That's usually how it works.
Have you ever sung in a service?
Yeah, we do that all the time. We have two main types of performances. One is a full-on concert with mics and on stage and lighting and the whole bit. We also do the other half of our performances. Or we do stuff on Shabbat and on the holidays where we'll come into a shul and we'll do the services, and it'll be a mix of what you mentioned, the chazanis or the cantorial style, but with some more modern tunes and with harmonies, and it's really, really nice. One of the highlights of my year always, I've been going for the past 3 years to Onset, Massachusetts, which is this little summer town, and there with the three other Maccabees, we do the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur services, the high holiday services.
So you do Yontif. Do you stick to Nusach? Do you move around from it? How do you play with that? Do you stay within the high holiday Nusach?
It's a balance that I mentioned before between, I could say, traditional and more modern. We definitely do some of the chazanis, the more traditional stuff, and that classic Nusach, but we try to also make it exciting with newer modern tunes, and it really is a synthesis as well. And people seem to really respond to it. You know, they say that the age of the chazan, of the cantor, is sort of no longer. That people are looking more for a shliach tzibur, as they say, someone to lead the congregation and to use tunes that people really enjoy.
And congregational melodies and sing-along, right?
Exactly.
So what you do is kind of a new version of chazanis in a funny
exactly.
way.
Exactly. A hybrid, if you will.
Fantastic. When I heard your Lecha Dodi, I didn't think about it actually being used in a service. Have you used that with the integrated part?
No, we actually have. We've been asked, but I don't think we've ever done that. You know, it's more of a concert type of song. It's an arrangement, and the stuff that we do on Shabbat and on the holidays is more off the cuff, but less arranged. You know, we don't want to give it. We never want to give it a concert feel when we daven for the Elmud, when we lead the services. We want to encourage people to sing along. We want to not make it a performance as much as us joining together with a congregation.
So a participatory experience as
exactly.
opposed to performance.
Exactly.
What's your favorite opportunity you've had as a Maccabee? What was the coolest thing? You did performances with Matthias Yahu. You've been all over the country. What's your favorite thing that you got to do?
It's a great question. I mean, for me, I've really been able to see the world. We've been to over 33 states in the United States, seeing crazy communities all over the place, far and wide. Personally, I've been to New Zealand, to China, to South Africa, to London. I think the White House probably was just the craziest overall experience in terms of I couldn't believe where I was and what I was doing. I still don't think that I fully really understood how unique of an opportunity it was at my age to meet the President of the United States, to talk with the President of the United States, to sing for him, to be there in that room. I mean, it was for Jewish American Heritage Month, and, you know, full of Supreme Court justices and senators and businessmen and women, and it was crazy.
What would you still like to do? I mean, haven't you done everything you can do as a Maccabee now?
You know, it's funny, with all of this, all the traveling, and we do so many performances, really every week, and with all the videos that we do, which we love, you know, I'd like to put out more music, put out more CDs, more albums. You know, at some point it became a lot about performing and a lot about the publicity and a lot about all of those things, which are great and very, very important. And we sort of lost sight of the fact that we started this as a group who likes to sing and a group who likes to just get together and do new music. So I'd like to go back to that. I'd like to make more music, to make more albums, not necessarily parodies or things that are going to get millions of hits on YouTube, but the stuff that we really enjoy to do.
I would be fascinated to see you put out a CD of your High Holiday music.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I mean, obviously it won't have the same market that Candlelight does. But,
exactly, exactly. And we've been asked for that. We've been asked for the Shabbat, Kabbalat Shabbat service.
Absolutely.
That would be cool. It really would be cool.
Have you been offered a record deal by anybody?
Well, we have a record deal with a Jewish...
with a Jewish publisher, I understand.
Yeah.
That almost counts, I'm sorry.
Almost counts. I think when Candlelight came out and some of the other popular videos, we were approached by some people.
Some
I don't know
A&R people.
What happened of that, but...
you were too Jewish, that was the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to thank Noah Jacobson for a great visit here on Too Jewish. Maccabees are, you can hear them all over the web, but you can also get their CDs. What's the Maccabees website?
Maccabees.com. Pretty simple.
Yeah, not too hard to find. Thanks, Noah. Continued success. It's a pleasure, and look forward to hearing you soon.
Thank you so much.
When we come back on Too Jewish, we'll get a final musical play out and hear about next week's guest.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reformed, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
Thanks for being here with us this morning on Too Jewish with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan. Join us next Sunday at 9 o'clock. Our guest will be Rabbi Wayne Dossick, a teacher, preacher, author, healer. Very interesting Jewish spiritual figure indeed. Our playout this morning comes from who else? The Maccabees. It's their parody for the new year. Well, Rosh Hashanah is coming up eventually, no? And it's called The Book of Good Life. My friends, may you be blessed with a Shavua Tov, a good week, and a week, we pray, of peace.